It's time, Fort Wayne. Your sports, your station. It's the Sports Rush with Brett Rump.
Three ball, Max Landis.
Covering all the topics that hit a nerve here in the Summit City.
Clark, 11-yard touchdown.
Only on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Now, here's your host, Brett Rump.
The greatest, most interesting, most important person of all time.
You are incredible.
Over on one.
Yeah, well, you're half right.
What is this, amateur?
This is going to be huge.
I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
Just when I think you said the stupidest thing ever, you keep talking.
I think that's the worst thing I've ever heard.
That boy ain't right.
The simplest way to put it, I have problems.
Welcome to the alleged show.
Wednesday afternoon here in the Summit City. Derek Decker in for Brett Rump here this afternoon on the Sports Rush. Adam Lundy, our producer and engineer, hanging out in our 1380 The Fan studio today. And a pleasant good afternoon. We've got plenty to talk about on today's show. It is packed. We've got three guests lined up. They're all A-plus guests. We got Maria Marcusano coming on. PFW Women's Hoops getting their tournament run kicked off. We've also got, in the second hour, Rob Blackman, voice of the Purdue Boilermakers, to talk about their Big Ten championship win last night against Illinois. What was a heck of a game. In my opinion, one of the best games of the Big Ten so far this year. And then also in the second hour, Zion Brown, IU junior, writer for the Indy Star, is coming on to talk about the Hoosiers and their trip to Minnesota here tonight, which is a 9 p.m. tip-off. Those are always fun at the barn. We'll talk more about that coming up today. But the Dons also getting their win last night. They advanced to the second round of the Horizon League tournament, and they are off to Oakland tomorrow night. And Brett Rump is out with the Dons on that trip. So that's why I'm in today and tomorrow. You got to put up with me for 4 hours in the next 2 days. So willingly or unwillingly, this is what it's going to be. Boilers outright Big Ten champs. We're going to talk much more about that here in just a sec. Adam, this afternoon, it's kind of, I feel like, you know, last time I came on, we talked about the weather some because it was like so nice out.
Mm-hmm.
It's not so nice today. It feels like a regular March day now.
Yeah,
it's like,
you know,
drizzly.
A little misty, a little gray, yeah. A little cloudy, a little little bland. Little
blah. You know what great weather this is? This is like basketball weather. This is
You...
You drive down to a game and you walk into a gym, a nice, warm, cozy gym, and there are still plenty of gyms to get to, by the way. High school season's winding down. We've got coverage on Saturday afternoon down at the Berry Bowl. Brett will be calling Wayne against Northside, 4 o'clock tip-off there down in Logansport. And I think Brett already talked about the fact that there were no regionals close to Fort Wayne. So I don't think I need to repeat any of the same talking points. I just want to say I share the same sentiment with the fact that there is no good regional site. The way that the format has kind of evolved over the last couple of years is just not good, in my opinion. But maybe that'll change again someday, and we'll have the coverage here on 1380 The Fan. Also, this weekend, Comets are at home, and to start the show today, we've got a four-pack of tickets to give away. Comets and Nailers, Saturday night, and the keyword today is Slapshot. You can text that in to 46862, our Parkview Sports Medicine text line. Hey, hop on. We're going to have plenty of questions for you to answer today. I want you to get involved on today's show. 46862 is the text line, sponsored by Parkview Sports Medicine, and the keyword for Comets Nailers tickets on Saturday, it's a four-pack,
yep,
is Slapshot, and puck drop is at 7:30.
And just a heads up, these are physical tickets, so you will need to be able to stop by sometime between today, or not today, but between either tomorrow or Friday during normal business hours. We're just south of downtown. You'll need to stop by. But yeah, Slapshot, 46862, four-pack, Comets, Wheeling Nailers, Saturday night.
Yeah, and you're going to want to listen in, too, because we've got a second four-pack to give away next hour for Comets. And also coming up a little bit later on in the show, we're going to give away tickets to the Full Throttle Monster Truck Show on Saturday. So listen for the keyword a little later on in our first hour here. But just got to start today where we have to start, and that is with the Boilermakers. We're going to get to the Dons here in a little bit, and we're going to talk more Dons tomorrow. We've got the Dons in very important games on both the men's and the women's side tomorrow. But the Boilermakers knocking off Illinois on the road. Very, very impressive win last night against the Illini. In a game that they trailed for a good chunk of, by the way. They ended up winning 77-71. Some crucial threes down the stretch. You think about guys like Lance Jones that sticks one. Braden Smith sticks one from 26 feet just beyond the left perimeter. I mean, it just, every time Purdue needed a play, and they were about to turn the ball over up by three, and Lawyer picks it up, finds Smith, and they get an open three look. Now, granted, it was, again, way downtown, but it's always interesting to me. This is kind of one of the fun analytics parts. If you go back and look at the win probability chart, it's hovering around 50%, so basically could swing either way for a good chunk of the second half. Then in that last 10-minute segment, Purdue gets the advantage, over 75% chance to win, looking good for the Boilermakers, peaking out at 86%. Then it goes below 50% with under 5 minutes to go as the Illini made their little run, and the Boilers just end up staving them off. Again, there is nothing that this team hasn't proven this year. Like, I feel like we have to reiterate time and time again for people that are inevitably going to make the comment, hey, you know, they're going to bring up the tournament thing, they're going to say what they're going to say. And I'm going to ask Rob Blackman in the second hour too more about this. But, Adam, you've watched this team all year long. Legitimately, what else is there for this team to accomplish? They win the Big Ten tournament outright championship against a very quality Illinois team. You want to talk about the Big Ten being down, we can talk about that. But they go on the road at the State Farm Center, really hard place to play. I've been in there for some great games over the last several years. Illinois fans, super, super annoying. They are really good fans, and they've stuck around a program that has not made the second weekend in over 20 years. Brad Underwood's trying to change that. Maybe that'll change this year. They're definitely going to make the tournament. We'll talk more about the Illini here in a second. But I just, multiple ways, man. Like, adversity, anything that they've faced this year, they have been able to do it. Yes, you could go back to say the thing happened against Nebraska. We've discussed that ad hoc over the last number of weeks. I don't think there was any scenario where they were going to win that game. You know, they lose one at Ohio State, a close road game. Those are the two losses since the turn of the new year in the Big Ten, and an overtime loss on the road at Northwestern. Like, I just, what else is there for this team to accomplish? Like, the stage is set here. You know, no matter what happens in the Big Ten tournament, in my opinion, that win last night locked them down for a one seed. If there was any inkling, now granted, they probably would have had to lose to both Illinois, Wisconsin, and then a their first tournament game, which would be on Friday of the Big Ten tournament coming up in a couple of weeks. I don't, they're going to be a lock for a one seed. They still have an argument to say, we're going to be overall number one. UConn would like a word, and it's probably going to depend if UConn loses again. They might not. But I don't know. To pose this question to you, Adam, what else is there for this team to accomplish in the regular season? Like, I don't know how they could legitimately be any more impressive.
Yeah, no, as far as the regular season, it's probably one of the most impressive seasons that they could possibly put together. Worth mentioning that they're undefeated against ranked teams this season. Mm-hmm. You know, just going through some of the resume, I mean, 11th ranked Gonzaga, 7th Tennessee, number 4 Marquette, all in a tournament environment there. They beat number 1 Arizona Wildcats, number 9 Illinois the last time they played,
yeah.
And, you know, number 6 Wisconsin when they played them. So it's just like, every time they've been challenged by a team that's supposedly, you know, high up there, they've proven that they can overcome those.
Yeah, and that's the most impressive thing to me, right? Because the schedule hasn't been as difficult in conference. Now, non-conference, obviously they were challenged, and they knew that they were going to have to challenge themselves to have, you know, a good shot of being a one seed.
Mm-hmm.
But I just feel like in a down Big Ten year, it's all that much more impressive that they're able to rally and win games against the league's best. Illinois twice, you know, they sweep Illinois. I know people think kind of poorly of Illinois. I know Purdue fans really don't like Illinois. I get it. There's a little rub there, not very far apart. And it's turned into a nice little rivalry, which has been dominated by Purdue. But I don't know. I just think there's nothing else that this Purdue team has to prove at this point other than winning in the tournament. That's the last thing for this group and for Matt Painter to get the monkey off his back finally. And figure out a way to make a deep tournament run, because I really think at this point, I wouldn't go as far to say, you know, national championship or bust, although it kind of is. I mean, I think it's a disappointment if they don't, but it's certainly a disappointment if this season ends anywhere short of the Final Four. There's just no way around it. I mean, it is an absolute disappointment
to the nth degree, no matter who they lose to, even if it's to a good team, you know, it's a huge disappointment if they don't make the Final Four. If you disagree with that, I want to hear from you. 46862 Parkview Sports Medicine text line.
Yeah, and it's just, it is kind of a shame because it's just, it's really tough to have that high of an expectation every time. Well, not every time, but these last few years they've gone into the tournament. And to have that level of expectation and to also have the now the previous year's lack of success kind of hanging on your back, mm-hmm. they go into the NCAA tournament with probably the most pressure out of any team, even more than the UConn, who's coming back to defend their title.
Yeah, and they have been, Purdue has been a top four seed each of the last three seasons. They're going to be, they were 4-21, they were a three seed in 22, obviously a one seed last year, and you know, things didn't work out in any of those three seasons for the Boilermakers. I don't think they're broken at a fundamental level. I think it's just silly to think that. They've proven everything. Again, what else do you want them to do? They go out of conference, they beat teams. They beat teams in conference. They played kind of a sucky conference schedule, not their fault. And there's nothing you can do about that. They have, you know, the Big Ten, clearly, as we said before the start of conference play, you could kind of tell it was coming. I mean, non-con was a disaster for the Big Ten. And I know there's some qualms about it. The net likes it a little bit more than like KenPom or true results-based, efficiency-based metrics. And I think KenPom does a great job of looking at the conferences and stacking them up. And I just, the gap is humongous between the Big 12 and then the Big East is kind of that second tier. And then there's the drop down where you get the Big Ten and the SEC kind of matched up with each other in terms of overall conference strength. And it's way different than last year, right? Because we were sitting here talking about an Indiana team who lost 9 conference games, I might add. And there was still a big step down from the Big 12 to the Big 10 last year, but the conference strength overall was just better. The teams aren't as good, whatever. And Purdue gets to say, you know what? We don't really care. We beat every team that we wanted to beat on this schedule. Yes, they had a couple of disappointing losses. For whatever reason, you could talk about play style. You can talk about Chris Collins. I don't know. That's part of the reason why I think Chris Collins has gotten some buzz in the coaching carousel potential during the offseason. Maybe want to be a target for some top teams that have openings because they are able to play with and knock off Purdue. They almost swept Purdue. That's, you know, borderline unbelievable with the kind of season that Purdue has had. And they took them to overtime twice. They ended up winning the one at their place and then losing to Mackey. But I think that's, again, part of the reason why he's gotten the buzz. But you look at this Northwestern team, tournament team, Purdue losing to Northwestern and Nebraska. Nebraska is a team that hopes to make the tournament. They feel like they've got a chance to do it. Right now in the bracket matrix, Nebraska is at a 10 seed. So, you know, they're kind of a team that's fringe bubble. I'd say they're in right now, and Nebraska is in pretty good shape. I don't think there's a whole lot that could knock them out at this point. Now, granted, you still have a non-con game left, and it's kind of a scary one. I think if you're a Nebraska fan, you're really sweating because you've got to go on the road to Michigan, worst team in the Big Ten, playing for nothing. They have looked lifeless the last few weeks, and Juwan Howard's season has just completely blown up. The Wolverines are 8-22. They have won a grand total of 2 Big Ten conference games. they have just been a disaster. And I really don't understand how Michigan comes back from this thing. Like, I know people have talked about, you know, the coaching search and, you know, what teams are going to do and who's going to move on and who's not. And I just, I know the comments that were made. I don't know about Michigan, man. They're just kind of in a bad place. But hey, we're going to talk more about Purdue coming up in the second hour. We're going to talk a little bit more in this hour, too, about Maria Marcusano, the Purdue-Fort Wayne women's team. Also more about the Dons going with the win last night and cruising. I mean, absolutely cruising over Robert Morris. No problem whatsoever. And huge first half lead. Yes, it did get a little bit hairy at one point. But, you know, again, never really in jeopardy, if you ask me. Watching that game, the Dons, again, pretty much in full control all the way throughout. And that's not an easy thing to do right after you're coming off the heels of playing a team. You got to turn around, play them again, also at home, but just absolutely cruised. And I think, you know, a statement for John Kaufman's team that has had a couple of bad losses this season, Adam. It's you know, encouraging to see the Dons rallying, getting a nice win last night, try to get some momentum, and it's been talked about throughout the league, and I think the Dons are legitimately the perfect matchup for Oakland to try and go on the road and spring an upset. I really think that with the – obviously the Dons are going to have to shoot well from three. That's really what the game comes down to. But when you have a team that can make threes, those are the groups that are just primed to make a conference tournament run and potentially an NCAA tournament run if they get in there. So I don't think the Dons, even though they are taking on a team that ends up being the one seed, regular season champs, I don't think they could have been any more happy with the draw. It's a short road trip, and again, a team that they feel like they can beat.
Absolutely, and as a team that we have seen that, you know, Purdue-Fort Wayne can certainly shoot the lights out in a 98-77 regular season victory at the arena over the Oakland Golden Grizzlies. Purdue-Fort Wayne shot 17 of 26 from three-point range for 65.4%.
That's a ridiculous number, by the way.
That is ridiculous. I don't know if we're going to see that again tonight, but we're going to hopefully see the Dons look to light it up from three again tonight.
Yeah, that was way back in December. Team was playing really well. That made them 8-1 at that point. They were in the midst of a six-game winning streak. Now, of course, they fell on some tough times, and then when they played Oakland at home, just an eight-point loss, very much in that game. And, you know, it's one of those things where, again, you feel like the Dons, who have not been blown out by any team in the Horizon League all season long, haven't lost a game by more than 8 points. And I think that Coach Kaufman and the Dons have to like their chances. We're going to talk more about them tomorrow coming up on the show. But before we go to our first break, let's check in with Adam for today's top headlines.
Let's do it. All right, some Horizon League basketball news. Matt Crenshaw is no longer the head coach of the IUPUI men's basketball team. Earlier today, the school announced it had parted ways with Crenshaw. Crenshaw became head coach of the Jaguars in April 2021. His record was 14-79 at IUPUI. The university said it will immediately launch a national search for its next head coach. And there you go for that one.
Yeah, and I just want to point out IUPUI right now in KenPom, 361 out of 362 ahead of only Mississippi Valley State.
There you go. A recent report by USA Today shared that seven teams have reached out to the Kansas City Chiefs to express interest in trading for cornerback Legarius Sneed, one of which being the Indianapolis Colts. Sneed was a standout player for the Chiefs last season with 60 solo tackles and two interceptions. And Kaman Maluaka, 7'2" center from the NBA Academy Africa in Senegal, told ESPN that he is committed to Duke. Maluaka, projected by ESPN as the number three pick in the 2025 NBA draft, is considered the top big man in the class of 2024, adding to one of the most impressive recruiting classes assembled in recent memory by head coach John Shire. It includes projected number one pick Cooper Flagg and the 7th, 18th, 22nd, and 37th ranked recruits as well. So those are your top stories today.
Thanks, Adam. And Adam Lundy is our producer and engineer holding things down.
Yes, sir.
When we come back, we're going to talk about Dartmouth. And I know that's kind of off the wall. You're going to think this is off the wall, but I promise we'll tie it into the Summit City here. The Dartmouth men's basketball team has decided to unionize, and there could be some serious ramifications. And I'm not going to spend too much time on it because I am not the perfect guy to talk to on this. We have multiple guests that we can line up and chat more about this, but it is an unprecedented step. We've got to talk about it. It is the first ever labor union for college athletes, and we're going to talk about potential ripple effects for that coming down the line. Also coming up in our first hour, we've got Maria Marcusano standing by, the Purdue-Fort Wayne women's basketball team, getting ready to kick off their Horizon League tournament run. Coming up in the second hour, Rob Blackman, Zion Brown, packed show on deck. And make sure to text in Slapshot. Four-pack of tickets coming up to the Comets and the Nailers on Saturday. 7:30 puck drop. Comets, Nailers, four-pack. Slapshot is the keyword. 46862 is the Parkview Sports Medicine text line. Talking more basketball when we come back from our first time out on the Sports Rush. You're listening on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Derek Decker in for Brett Rupp here on this Wednesday afternoon. 1380 The Fan, 100.9 FM. Adam Lundy's along for the ride, too. He's producing and engineering our show, as always, today. And so glad to have you along for the broadcast. And we are on till 6 o'clock today. I'll be back on 4 to 6 tomorrow to talk more about what's going on in the world of sports. We've got a packed show coming up tomorrow, too, already, with a full lineup of guests. So you're going to want to be around. Hey, by the way, we are giving away four tickets to Comets and Nailers Saturday, 7:30 puck drops. Slapshot is the keyword. 46862 if you want to text it. Also, you can text the word fan to sign up for breaking sports news and interact with our shows just like this one. Again, our Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862. We want to hear from you on your opinions on all kinds of things. And we're going to talk in this portion of the Sports Rush about Dartmouth. And I know that doesn't feel like it has local implications, but you're incorrect if you think that, or you're not thinking far enough ahead. I'll at least say that. So I'll be nice about it and say, hey, this is coming to college sports near you, no matter where you're living. And this is not a done deal yet. The team at Dartmouth voted yesterday to unionize. Now, that there's still a step, a couple steps, actually, before they actually form the labor union. But they voted 13-2. Every player on the roster voted to join the Service Employees International Union Local 560. That already represents some other Dartmouth worker that are just employed by the university. But the key is here, they're going to be recognized as employees if this thing goes through. And that will definitely affect everything. It'll obviously affect payment. It'll affect NIL. It will affect everything in the ever-changing world of college athletics. And my question to you, listener, 46862, is this a good idea? Is this good? Do you like to see this as a fan of college basketball? Do you think it's fair for college athletes to be recognized as employees of the university? I know this is kind of an age-old discussion, but this is a bit of a new twist. And, of course, this is in the NIL era, so it's, like, completely different. The playing rules are totally, totally different. So I'm curious on your thoughts. Is this a good idea? 46862, text in and tell me if you think this is a good thing to do. Dartmouth could be the leader here. Of course, it's an Ivy League team, but could be the leader in making the way for plenty of teams or all teams nationwide to be recognized as employees of the university. It's just fascinating. It's a fascinating conversation to have. Obviously, every college, especially smaller colleges, which might sound counterintuitive, but smaller colleges rely on athletics quite a bit too. And in fact, smaller colleges, NAIAs, which this shouldn't have even brought up NAIAs because this does not apply to that. But point is, D2s, D3s, by the way, D3s are not getting any scholarship money. So, they're playing for nothing. They are not getting any help in terms of athletic scholarship. All those schools that are smaller than your average run-of-the-mill Big Ten school, which is just massive. Undergrads at some Big Ten schools are over 40 or 50,000 students. So athletes are making up a small, relatively, portion of those. At smaller colleges, they make up a huge portion. A massive portion of the student body could end up being athletes. So this could really affect some colleges' bottom lines. And I'm not going to go into too much more detail on it, but I don't know. I am curious to see how this pans out, because it is something that inevitably we are going to be talking about coming up later in the next couple of years. There's no question in my mind that this is going to have an impact on college sports, just like when NIL was going to get rolling. People are talking like, it's never going to happen. NCAA doesn't like it. Of course, they don't like it. NCAA is going to shoot this down. Not the case with this thing. I think there's a good chance this gets through. It's not a guarantee. But even if it doesn't happen for Dartmouth, it's going to happen for somebody soon. And that is the reality. So you've got to get ready for it. And that may impact the way that colleges do athletics. It might impact how many sports colleges have, just like the pandemic did. Everything has impacts that trickle down. Ultimately, what ends up happening every time we have changes in college sports is it is the smallest non-revenue sports that are impacted first. And that makes, decent business sense. But that's just the reality. So if you've got family members that are playing in a non-revenue sport, that's everything except for football and men's basketball, by the way, then watch out. Their sport might be next. Not saying it's a bad thing. I am not saying anything on it. I have thoughts, but I'm going to reserve that for tomorrow and then once we get further on in this deal. But again, something worth tracking. Just wanted to put it on your radar because it would affect everybody potentially in the future, even the next couple of years. It could affect everybody, including right here in Fort Wayne at PFW. Definitely a possibility on the horizon. So just wanted to get it out there. Something that came out yesterday and felt like it was important enough to talk about it on the show today. We got to take another break. When we come back, we're talking with Maria Marcusano, head coach of the Purdue Fort Wayne women's basketball team, as the Dons get ready to start their Horizon League tournament run. We'll talk about specifics. They're playing Detroit Mercy. We'll get more on that in the first 20-win season for the Dons since 2011. All that after the break. You're listening to The Sports Rush. I'm Derek Decker, in for Brett Rump on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM.
This is Maria Marcusano, head women's basketball coach at Purdue Fort Wayne, and you're listening to The Sports Rush with Brett Rump on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM.
Very nicely timed. Hat tip to Adam Lundy, our producer and engineer. Says he didn't plan it. Don't believe him. Derek Decker in for Brett Rump here this afternoon on The Sports Rush, and we are turning to women's basketball. Maria Marcusano is on the line with us, and Coach, first of all, welcome to the show. Thanks so much for taking some time out. I know you're busy preparing, but congratulations on a fantastic regular season, earning the 3 seed here in the Horizon League tournament, getting ready for Detroit Mercy coming up tomorrow night. Coach, first 20-win season since 2011. Talk about what that has meant to the program and all that your team's accomplished so far this year.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for having me. The season's been fun. It's been up and down. I think, we win 20 games, but if you ask our girls, we let a couple slip away along the way. We feel like it probably should be even more, but it's funny because that 20-win mark is such a weird unwritten rule in college basketball that, like, you hit that 20-win mark and you did something special. But I think the really cool thing is just seeing the growth within our system, within our program, within our girls, having this culture turn around, turning the program around from what it was a couple years back. And then tying the most wins in the Division I era is obviously a really cool accomplishment as well. And these girls, they see that kind of stuff. They read the articles, they see the news, and they can be proud. And they're super proud of what they've done. And honestly, they've earned it. They've been in the gym. They've worked their butt off for 3 straight years. And now it's tourney time, and that's the time when all that work pays off.
Yeah, we're going to talk more about Detroit Mercy, the matchup with them coming up tomorrow night. But I want to ask more about the culture and how you've kind of seen that change with the specifics of this team in particular and how things have turned around. You know, you've mentioned a lot of the things that you've put in to try and change the culture, and a lot of those things have succeeded. What are some of those?
Well, I think, culture is such a buzzword when it comes to sports programs. And what it comes down to is the daily habits and the things that you do every single day. Those are what build your culture. And when I got here, there weren't great habits. There was girls with a lot of extra jobs and a lot of, extracurricular that weren't important. And I said, guys, if we want to be good, you're already getting a full ride scholarship. You're already getting extra money in your pocket. You're getting all this gear. You're getting fed. Do you really need that extra money? And they looked around. They're like, no. So let's quit these jobs and let's get in the gym. And that's what they did. They started getting in the gym every single night. I always point my finger to Shayla Sellers. She was one of those ones that said she liked expensive things, and that's why she worked for extra money. But she quit it immediately, and she leads the way when it comes to hard work. She spent that first summer after we, had completed one season, and she was in here every single day, at least twice a day, and most days she was in here 3 times a day, whether it was a basketball workout and then a lift and then another basketball workout and then maybe open gym with, the team. And when you see that kind of work ethic, right next to you, people tend to follow, and that's what happened. And, everyone started getting in the gym. Everyone started to buy into the hard work. And there's no, there's no coincidence that our two best players, Shayla Sellers and Amelia Bromenschenkel, they are the ones that are in the gym most, especially in the summertime and the off season. So I think when you talk about culture, it starts with the hard work. And then after that, it's the relationships, building relationships. I coach them hard, but to be able to coach them hard, you got to have some boundaries outside of the court, and you got to know them inside and out. And to be able to get on them, you have to have that relationship. And I think, you take those two things. Those are the two things that we've focused on as a staff to really get this thing moving in the right direction.
Take me inside the locker room right now. I imagine the feeling's got to be pretty upbeat, and certainly nobody looking ahead right now. You're going to have your hands full with Detroit Mercy tomorrow night. But is there a strong feeling that your team is in position to have a real good shot to win this thing?
Yeah, the girls are super confident, but not cocky. They know that anybody in this league can upset you on any given night. We split with Detroit in the regular season. They're very good team. They're a very complete team. They have good guards. They have good posts. They rebound the heck out of the ball. they play really solid defense. And sometimes they take you out of your game of what you want to do, and they create a lower scoring game that, people know that we want to score the ball. But we're excited to be at home. Our girls are confident. Like I said, they're you know, excited about the game plan. They're getting in the gym extra, even though this is probably the time of the year that they need to have their legs rested, but they're just so excited to play. You know, I talked to some of the other media members today about that, the pros and cons of having the bye. You work all year to get that bye and finish in top four in your conference, but then that first night of the tournament starts and you're sitting there watching games and you get a little antsy. You know, you want to get out there and play. And I just think that's the feeling our girls have right now.
Yeah, it's totally understandable. Hey, 9-point win against Youngstown State to finish up senior day. Destiny Marshall, a senior for your group that has been around, leading you with scoring with 22 points. So how important to see her have a game like that heading into the conference tournament when you need kind of those seasoned, experienced leaders to step up at this time of the year?
For sure. It was so cool to see. Shayla and Amelia are our best players, but Destiny is definitely our X factor. We are not the same without her. She was injured for a few games there in the heart of conference season, and we're just a completely different team without her. She's our main ball handler. She's our main on-ball defender. She's the only one on our team that can really create for other people. But at the same time, she's also probably the main one on our team that if we need a bucket, she can go get that for herself as well. She's very unselfish, which is why she doesn't average a lot of points. She knows where, you know, our strengths and weaknesses are, and she tries to make sure that, you know, Millie and Shay and some of the other scorers get their looks before she gets her own. But we have a saying around here, you go, we go. And when she, you know, starts off pushing the ball, not necessarily scoring it, but as long as she's putting pressure on defense, the other team's defense, and getting downhill and attacking the rim, whether it's for her own shot or to look for a dump off or a kick out, then we're a lot better. And when she's not on the floor, we feel her, you know, vacancy out there because, man, she makes us go.
All right. Well, your team has hit 10 or more threes in 13 games this season. You rank in the top 20 in the nation in threes per game with almost 9 per contest. You know, what have you seen from your team in particular from the three-point line? How important will that be in your Horizon League tournament run? It's been important for you all year long, and you've got some really elite next-level shooters on your team.
We do. We shoot the ball a lot in our program. We try and recruit, you know, 1 through 5 people that can shoot the ball and stretch the floor. You know, hopefully it's not a key factor, to be honest with you. You know, the threes are kind of like icing on the cake. They're a bonus. But we've talked all summer and all fall long about we've got to be able to figure out ways to win even when we're not hitting shots. And at times this year we did that very well, and at other times, you know, we struggled. But, you know, in this stretch of tournament games, obviously you hope that you hit shots and you get hot from three because that's going to help. But, you know, our kids are at a point now where they're confident with other things on the floor, not just shooting the three. So if that shot's not falling, I feel like we're going to be able to get to other shots, feed the post, get to our perimeter post, get to some of our drives. But obviously it's an X factor. I mean, when we hit 10, 11, 12, 13 threes in a game, we're really hard to beat. And it's kind of a key with Detroit because they're pretty steady with how they score. In their wins and losses, it's when they give up more or hold teams to less that is kind of the difference. They just are very consistent on the offensive end. They're right about 60-62 every single game. So scoring more than that is going to be key tomorrow.
Yeah, and you talked about splitting with them in the regular season, both of them. You know, relatively close games, 10 points or less. What else will be important in getting the win tomorrow night at home?
We've got to take care of the boards. They had 20 second chance points at our place a couple weeks ago when we played them, and we still won by 10. And if you take away those second chance points off offensive rebounds, man, that's a whole different game. We have to take care of the boards. We've got to box out. We've got to come back and go get those rebounds because it's going to be a game changer. And then secondly, we've got to get out and run. Like, you know, we are just a different team when we can push the ball, get some kick aheads. Even if we don't get a shot, like I said, if we're putting pressure on defenses to have bad matchups out of transition D, or to be scrambling, we're just a lot better off. So if we can take care of the boards and get out and run a little bit, I feel good about our chances.
You know, certainly you've been through this situation before in the Horizon League tournament, you know, having the goal to win the thing, but how do you try and keep your team focused and locked in on tomorrow night and try to keep things, you know, as relatively similar to a regular season game as you can tomorrow?
I think that's where the experience comes in. You know, we've got a veteran group. We've got, you know, a core group that made this run last year. They're focused. You know, all the girls talk to the media today, and almost every single one of them said, yeah, we want to get down there, we want to win it, but we're not looking past Detroit. We're taking things one game at a time. And they know, you know, this year proved in our conference that literally anybody could lose on any given night. And so I think they know that we've got to come out and play like it could be our last game, and I think you'll see that type of effort tomorrow. They're ready to go. Like I said, they're getting antsy. They've been in the gym all day. It's spring break, so they don't have classes. And I think they'll be ready to go at 7 o'clock tomorrow.
Tip off 7 at the Gates Center. Head coach Maria Marcassano, the PFW women's basketball team. Hey, thanks a lot for hopping on our show today. Best of luck on the Rise League tournament. Hope to be talking to you once again shortly after a big win in the quarterfinal round. Thanks a lot for coming on.
Yeah, anytime.
All right, that's Coach Maria Marcassano of the PFW Women. Detroit Mercy on tap tomorrow night at the Gates Center, 7 o'clock tip-off. Can't wait for that. Here on our 1380 air, we'll have the men. The Dons are on the road against Oakland, and we'll talk more about that game coming up a little bit later on in the show, and we'll have a full preview tomorrow with Brett Rump joining the show in the first hour. So it's not quite like he's hosting the show, but it's like he's certainly getting a voice, which he more than deserves on the Dons. I'm looking forward to talking more about that. But I just think there is so much momentum right now behind the Dons on the women's side. I got a chance to get to a couple of games this season, and they are really talented. And, you know, Coach Marcassano, I think, put it perfectly in terms of the three-point shooting. They are awesome for the three-point line. They can make them at a high clip.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, they don't necessarily need a bunch of threes to win games. They're a really unique team with their size. They're a little bit undersized in some departments, but they are really good. They're talented, and when the offense is clicking, they are one of the hardest teams to beat in the league.
Yeah, and it was also really interesting just to hear about how she's kind of turned around the way that the girls in the program even think about basketball and participating in a sport at a D1 level as a whole. I thought that was very interesting, and definitely credit to her for getting the girls' minds in the right place. It was, you know, it sounded like maybe the priorities might have been a little bit elsewhere, but credit to Coach Marcassano. She's done a fantastic job of getting the girls focused and just a fantastic regular season, like you said. And yeah, just awesome. Looking forward to tomorrow. You mentioned that the women will be playing Detroit Mercy on the women's side, but the men on the Detroit Mercy side, they certainly made an effort last night to send Purdue Fort Wayne to Youngstown State.
Yeah, they certainly did. That was a heck of a ball game. Ended up being crazy. Hoping that both the men and the women one step away from getting to Indy to play at the Farmers Coliseum.
Yeah.
With a PFW women's win, they'll be taking on the winner of Wright State Milwaukee 2:30 on Monday afternoon down at the Indiana Farmers Coliseum. The championship is Tuesday at noon. So looking forward to a chance to hopefully see them down there, as long as they can avoid what would be a small upset. But I just feel like, again, with the way that they match up with Detroit Mercy, I liked their chances going into this thing, and loved the attitude and the kind of the approach that Coach Marcassano and her kids are taking into this game. We got to take another break. When we come back, we'll have more Sports Rush. We're going to talk a little bit of IU hoops, and I know a lot of people don't want to hear about it. Don't care. IU's on the road at Minnesota tonight, 9 p.m. tip-off, and I'll tell you why you should be tuning into this game when we come back on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Back here on this Wednesday edition of the Sports Rush, Brett Rump on the road with the Dons as they get ready to take on Oakland tomorrow night. Tip off 7 o'clock, 6:45 pregame here on 1380 The Fan. I'm Derek Decker. Adam Lundy is here too. We just got off the phone with Maria Marcassano, the head women's coach for the PFW squad. And I just want to walk back something I said in the previous hour. Hat tip to Brett for pointing this out. And, you know, I knew I was going to do this at some point today, because every time I look at the Horizon League tournament bracket on both sides, I keep forgetting that it's not an actual bracket until you get to the semifinals. So don't know who the opponent would be yet. Depends on the other outcomes on the women's side. So just wanted to, I think whoever I said, Wright State or whoever I said, not necessarily the case, could be depending on the other outcomes, but unlikely to be those teams. If the favorites win, it could be somebody else. So just wanted to point that out. Regardless, the times I said were right and the days I said were right. So, hey, I got some of it right. They will be down in Indy on Monday with a victory and a noon or 2:30 tip off. And again, Adam, I'm looking forward to watching that run. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I think the Maria Marcassano's group just has so much going for them here. We talked about that a little bit before the break. What we've got to do now is quickly touch on a brief preview of IU and Minnesota. And again, I want to talk about why you should watch this game tonight. We're going to talk with Zion Brown in the second hour. IU junior, also writer for the Indy Star, covers the Hoosiers. And I just want to check in on the pulse of Hoosier Nation here in Fort Wayne. If you were listening before our show today, you were thinking about what's going to happen after the season for Indiana. And that's not really my point in bringing up what could happen this evening, 9 p.m. tip-off at the Barn. By the way, Indiana almost lost to a horrendous Minnesota team last year. If it had not been for late Trace Jackson Davis heroics, it took an All-American just making some plays basically on his own last year. Super weird game last year in Minneapolis, and I wonder if we'll get something close to the same tonight. Now, Minnesota's a much improved team, obviously, from last season. Indiana gets a taste of the Golden Gophers at the Barn at Williams Arena. But the reason you should be watching, these are important games for Indiana. The last couple games here are important, not to build momentum for next season or any of that generic lingo that you might hear from somebody else. That's just silly because the roster is going to have ridiculous turnover, whether they win, you know, whether they have a strong finish this year, they lose out, they lose these two games this week against Minnesota, Michigan State, and then they end up, losing the first game of the Big Ten tournament. That doesn't matter to what's going to happen to the roster. There's going to be a significant overhaul no matter how you slice this thing. Okay, so that's not even really talking about Mike Woodson. However, the last three games, if they lose, maybe play a factor in whether Mike Woodson hangs around, gets another year. I still think at this point, we are talking about a serious long shot for him not to be coaching Indiana next season. And I think it's honestly kind of fair. Like, I've gone back and forth in my head. I'm not, you know, I say things in the heat of the moment, being an IU grad and understanding what the program's about and what they've been through. And kind of the direction of where things are going or maybe lack of direction, I think you could argue. But at the same time, you have to pump the brakes just a little bit. I think this team in particular was a guard or two away, a good shooter away, maybe two good shooters away from being a real competitor to be like in the top half of the Big Ten. Doesn't mean they were going to be as good as they were last year, but I think one or two good shooters maybe gets them closer to the bubble, which is still not the end goal that you're going for. I get it. I totally understand it. So I get the frustration for Indiana fans here. I do. But there's no reason you shouldn't watch tonight. Or you can listen over on our sister station, WoWo 92.3 FM, if you can't watch on TV. But these games are important, not necessarily for the players who play in them. Okay? But they are important for the trajectory of Indiana next season. Doesn't carry over. I think, you know, another win or two here may, you know, completely take Mike Woodson off of the chance of getting fired after this season, you know, unless they lose by like 45 points in the, you know, the first game of the Big Ten tournament or something crazy happens. You know, you never know.
Mm-hmm.
But I just, by the way, speaking of Big Ten tournaments coming up next week, the seeding line for Indiana, they could still be as high as a 5 seed. Now, they need some help to get there with a couple of wins, but they could end up being a 5 seed. You finish 5th in the Big Ten. That is impossible to believe. And if that does not tell you how down the Big Ten has been this year, knowing that Indiana, you know, there's an argument to be made that Indiana is the second or third worst team in the Big Ten. Okay, if you just look at straight up metrics, there's a gap, and then there's Michigan. Obviously, Michigan's way below everybody else. Mm-hmm. But the bottom rest of that pack is kind of grouped up. And Indiana's lost to a couple of those teams. They got swept by Penn State. They lost to Rutgers. So they could be considered amongst that lower tier just above Michigan at the bottom of the Big Ten. But they can still finish as high as 5th. Minnesota tonight, Michigan State at home on Sunday afternoon for Senior Day. And then you've got the Big Ten tournament. They could still, with two losses and a little bit of not necessarily help, I guess, but help in a bad way, they could finish as low as 13th. Mm. So there's a huge spread. They do need at least a win to help their chances out of not playing on Wednesday in the Big Ten tournament. And, of course, everybody understands that without winning the Big Ten tournament, that is the only path to the NCAA tournament. I do think with a win or two this week, Indiana is probably going to be in line for a fringe NIT bid. Question there is, would they even accept that bid? We're going to talk to Zion Brown about that in the second hour. So that's just a little tease for hour number two. When we come back, it'll be the top of the hour. We'll reset things. The Dons getting a big win last night. Purdue getting the Big Ten outright for the second consecutive season. First time that's been done in more than 15 years in the Big Ten Conference, and they got it done with an exciting win. We're going to talk to Rob Blackman, the voice of the Boilermakers, coming up in hour number two. I'm Derek Decker in for Brett Rump on the Sports Rush. It's a Wednesday edition on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM.